What's up, everybody? Erin Coscarelli here. Welcome to Believe in Rams, part of the Believe in Network. And of course, be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, follow this podcast. You can also catch us on Believe TV, read the top Believe stories at si.com. And of course, follow us on all the socials. Get all your Rams needs at one place. And today we have a really special show because we have an amazing guest, former NFL quarterback, co-host of the Sims Complete podcast, Matt Sims, who co-hosts it with his dad, Phil Sims. And you know that makes for a really good time. I am going to ask him all the questions about getting to work with his dad. Phil Sims is one of my favorite NFL personalities, and he's just so fun to watch. So getting to pick his brain about how it is working with his dad and, you know, an older perspective mixed in with Matt, who I think is only 35. So, you know, that's a very good show. But I'm excited to get Matt on. Of course, so much to talk about when it comes to the Rams this offseason. No shortages of storylines. Of course, the big one, we've got the draft coming up, right? April 25th. The big question I think a lot of people are wondering is, are they going to address that first round pick as a replacement with Aaron Donald? They have 11 total picks. That's the most in the NFL, tied for the most in the NFL. And that's the biggest question, right? How will they be able to fill the void of Aaron Donald? And I think that you just can't. As Steve Wyche said last week, you're going to just have to figure out how to compensate for him. So they're getting their first round pick, the Rams are, since 2019. So, you know, Les Snead and Coach Sean McVay are very happy and excited. And I think all of us LA fans are very curious, chomping at the bit to find out what are they going to do with that first round pick. And, you know, a lot of people, you check out the blogs, the rumors, the people on X, a lot of things swirling around. Maybe they trade up, they trade down. Maybe they get more picks. No one knows. No one knows. All those mock draft experts, even they don't know. But certainly I'm going to ask Matt all of those questions. I think no doubt the main priorities for the Rams this season, of course, you have edge, interior defensive tackle, linebacker, wide out with Cooper's injuries, kicker, of course. So there's a lot of things, of course, they're going to be wondering about in the war room come draft day. Can Jimmy Garoppolo still be a starting quarterback? That's going to be one of the questions I'm going to ask Matt, because I think Jimmy's still 32. He's coming off a challenging season with the Raiders, but we saw what happened with Baker Mayfield, right? Baker signed that huge contract with Tampa and gave a lot of credit to Sean McVay believing in him, revitalizing his career. And there's no doubt in my mind that is a large reason, of course, why Jimmy G decided to be backup to Matthew Stafford here in LA, is to be able to work with the quarterback whisperer in Sean McVay. But the question also I want to ask too is, how will they round out that quarterback room? You know, you have a former NFL QB. Will the Rams be addressing some type of QB, maybe in the later rounds, maybe in the third round? There's a lot of talk about Spencer Rattler. So that'll be really interesting. You know, it's so fun. I love draft day. It is so fun to be able to pick apart, figure out, decipher why a lot of these GMs make the decisions that they make. I'm curious too, you know, one of the other things potentially could impact a lot of rumors about the benefit of Diggs going to Houston and now crowding that wide receiver room with maybe possibly Robert Woods coming back. I mean, that would be a diabolical wide receiver room to be able to have Woods back with Sean McVay. And yeah, I think we're going to have a great show with Matt Sims. Without further ado, let's get right into it. I have so many questions and he's going to provide, hopefully, a lot of answers. All right. Without further ado, let's welcome in our guest, Mr. Matt Sims, NFL draft this month, April 25th. And you are, of course, a former NFL QB. And I love you on your show with your dad, Sims Complete. In fact, off camera, you were telling us how high maintenance and difficult he is to work with.
My God.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, just what a diva. The guy is such a loser. I'm so tired of pulling just, you know, his no talent, no understand. No, I'm kidding. I love my father. He's the man. He was a great football player in his own right. He's a great, great character off screen, on screen, what he's done too for our family. So extremely appreciative to share the stage with him and the game that we both love so tremendously.
Do you guys like disagree a lot, or are you pretty much on the same page when it comes to how you watch football games, analyzing the teams and the players? Are you guys sort of on the same page, or are there a lot of disagreements happening in the Sims household?
Yeah, there's a lot more similarities than we would like to, obviously think that there was between him and I, and I think that's a good thing for most of the time. We really are just the typical father and son, where occasionally, especially with our age gap, I'll say something that is just totally, just thrown into the wind, don't really care about the repercussions of what I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there, just seeing what explodes after it. And, and he's got that more old school media mentality too, where he's a little more buttoned up, but the podcast life has definitely helped him at least shed a little bit of that. We get to see, I think, a new side of Phil Sims, to where we have more fun banter that way.
The Sims Complete show. I think that would be a very good listen, and having father and son going back and forth. Make sure to check that out, you guys. It's a super fun show between Phil Sims, his son, Matt Sims. And with that being said, I did want to pick your brain with the draft coming up. The Rams have 11 total picks. I believe that's the most among teams currently in the NFL. And, look, big news came out of LA within the last few weeks with Aaron Donald, number 99, retiring. He was a instant impact player at his position, of course, being defensive rookie of the year. So when you look at the Rams, Matt, big picture, what are you in your mind? Maybe this is Captain Obvious, but what are what do you think the obvious weaknesses are for the team right now?
Yeah, well, I think there's two aspects to that I really want to kind of dive into. I mean, of course, replacing Aaron Donald. How do you replace one of the best generational players that we've seen in a very long time? He even said it himself, he's probably one of the best of his time, but maybe not of all time. And I think that is a fair assessment of just who he is and the impact that he had each and every week at the position that he played. This dude is one of the best interior pass rushers that we've ever seen in the game. So filling that void will obviously be very interesting. And also too, just the replacement of Raheem Morris and his impact alongside Sean McVay. I feel like he is a tremendous leader. I had the honor and privilege of being coached by him when I was in Atlanta with the Falcons. I just can't say enough good things about that man and who he is as a person, but also who he is as just a football IQ and coach. And I think that will be as big of a void to fill as Aaron Donald, as far as how the team is constructed and how Sean McVay is able to manage this team going forward too. Now with just the new special teams rules, losing Aaron Donald, losing his star defensive player, but also losing his star defensive play caller too. So it's going to be a lot of fun little chess matches that Sean will have to make up here.
Yeah, and I had Steve Weish on last week, and we talked about him not getting a lot of sleep, and you add on top of the fact that he just had a 5-month-old baby into the mix. Sean is not getting any sleep, you guys. This offseason, it may be slow for us right now. He is ramping all things up. I would not envy being Sean right now, trying to figure out, like you said, what to do. Now, one of the things that he hasn't had since 2019, we talked about it off camera, him and Les Snead are going to get a first round pick for the first time. what direction, you know, and there's a lot of rumors and mock drafts talking about maybe trading down, trading. What do you think they do at number 19 in your opinion?
Well, I hope just for the sake of Rams fans, excuse me, that they actually do get a first round pick and don't do like the old Bill Belichick New England Patriots thing and trade out of that first round pick, considering how long that it's been. But I really would not be shocked if it was offensive line. I really think that this is something that they put an aspect in the offseason of just shoring up the inside of that position. They have Avila, who was playing guard, now probably going to be playing center now from what Sean McVay has said. But I would not be shocked if they go out there and try to get one of these high-priced interior or tackles that are available in this year's draft. So, I mean, just to name a few, you know, Tyler Guyton would be an interesting one if he's still there. Mm-hmm. Amarius Mims from Georgia would be another one that would be great. Fuaga from Oregon State, I mean, if he's still available at 19, I would be very shocked to see if there's a possibility of the Rams passing up on a talent like these guys, you know, to protect your older quarterback and Matt Stafford, who is still, to me, playing at an MVP level of play, and really just also building for whoever the quarterback in waiting is, you know, down the line for them to make sure that they shore up that offensive line again and bolster it back up.
So I said Captain Obvious because in my mind, I thought you were going to go defense. You're not thinking they're going to figure out how to handle the void with Aaron Donald and go defense with that first position. Then how do they shore that up in the draft? Like, where do you think they go with that next?
Yeah, well, that I think that's one of those things where just to me, I'm an offensive minded guy and I'm selfish that way. I'm a former quarterback, right?
Of course.
You know, I'm always thinking about, you know, the play of Matt Stafford and protecting him too. And I'm just saying, hey, you know, defense is important, but let's just score more points. Like, let's not worry about it. So for in that regard, I mean, defensive line would absolutely be something that would be great for them to fill up. But I do think that there are enough defensive linemen in this draft where they can find impactful players late in that second pick at 52, in the third round at 83, mm-hmm. where they can still get some really good, solid football players, big football players too, to kind of fill that void of Aaron Donald. Because you're not going to do it with one guy. So that's why my theory is go offensive line, then maybe get two or three, kind of like you did the year before in the draft, and get some young talent and depth at that position too through the draft.
So it sounds like when Matt Sims looks at his mock draft, he doesn't necessarily pick players best for the team. He's like, these are the guys I selfishly would want for me when I'm, were to be playing.
I'm taking like the Aaron Rodgers approach to it, you know? So
love
you
it.
You know, yeah.
I love it. You did mention also something interesting, because with Matthew Stafford, you saying still playing at a very high caliber level, Jimmy Garoppolo is now in the quarterback room.
Right.
And well, first of all, what did you think of that? What did you think of that in terms of if you were Jimmy, and what did you think of that in terms of if you were Sean and Les Snead?
I think for Jimmy, you know, I would be, you know, doing the double heel click like I was a leprechaun or something, being excited to be coached by a guy like Sean McVay, because he's a guy that's come from that Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. And I feel like Sean has really done a great job throughout his career and proving to other players as well that he has the ability to kind of tap into how to revitalize a player, right? How to rejuvenate them. We saw that with Baker Mayfield. I thought one of the coolest things I saw this offseason from Baker Mayfield, he did an interview actually with my brother, and he was saying that Sean really kind of helped him get back to who he was as a football player. And that just speaks volumes to me that you could say that, because Baker's one of those guys that you think is just like, he's got the bulletproof vest on, nothing affects him. But the fact that he got empowered by a guy like Sean McVay, mm-hmm. I feel like he will have that exact same effect on a Jimmy Garoppolo as well. And really, I think the other big question mark too is just making sure that they're prepared with hopefully Stetson Bennett being able to now come back, be healthy, ready to go, because Jimmy G just did too many PEDs this offseason, so he's out for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting with Baker heading into his situation or his contract into LA. I remember I was with the Raiders at the time when he had that huge game, you know, hadn't seen the quote unquote playbook and he wasn't going to play. And then of course throws that, throws that touchdown, game winning touchdown. Everybody's up in arms. It was like such a crazy game to watch. And prior to that, he struggled where he was with Browns, with the Panthers. And then we almost all sort of gave up on Baker except for Sean. And when it comes to Jimmy's only what, 32 now. Do you believe after what we've seen from him, especially his last year with Las Vegas, that he can still be a starting quarterback in the NFL right now, Matt?
Starting quarterback, I would say that he's kind of on that edge right now. I know for a fact, though, that, you know, at his age, what his ability is, you know, the knowledge that he's acquired through the years of his playing career, that he would, to me, be a very suitable quarterback to be a number two for probably the next 8 years of his life, right? Which is not a bad life at all. And I think someone, too, that a management perspective, a coaching perspective, you could really rely on knowing that, all right, Jimmy G, maybe you're not one of the more talented quarterbacks in the NFL, but if we have a Super Bowl caliber type of football team, he can at least just allow you to continue to play at a high level and not play you out of a playoff position, right? Not play you out of, you know, keeping a Super Bowl run together while hopefully your starting quarterback stays healthy, you know. And I think this is just a great insurance policy for them. And hopefully too, Stetson Bennett can absorb a lot of information from Matt Stafford and Jimmy Garoppolo too, because I do think he is very underrated and talented football player too, that has tremendous upside. So I think it's a great QB room really as a whole. They definitely had to address that with losing Carson Wentz. And I think Sean McVay and his offense is one of the best in the league, one of the most creative. And I think he's a guy that really understands just what it takes to play high caliber football and how to build around those players.
So then do you're saying you don't believe the Rams are going to possibly target maybe a Spencer Rattler in the third round or look for a QB in the later rounds? You're saying unlikely.
I would say unlikely, but all right, so let's look at this too. So like round three, 83, 98, and then they got something around five, 153. All right, if they have, let's just say, for example,
hypothetically,
if Michael Penix is there at 83,
okay,
they better draft Michael Penix. All right. Okay. That's all I'm saying right there. Because I think, you know, I'm curious to see how this, right now, all these mock drafts, they got 12 quarterbacks going in the first round. Like, it's to the point where it's gotten ridiculous, right? And I feel like when the draft comes along, it's always, you know, some of it's true, but a lot of it is just kind of that, you know, that smoke and mirrors game that's played behind the scenes, right? The spy game stuff. But if you have a quarterback like a Michael Penix, or even someone like a Bo Nix, for whatever reason, if those two guys slip back and they're there at pick 83, it would be very difficult for me to see Snead and McVay being, yeah, let's pass on this guy. We'll find someone in the future with what they've done with their college career. So if they're available, I would say that second or third round, then yeah, that would be a possibility for them to pick for the future.
Okay. I like that answer. It's all dependent on the situation, of course, especially with those last or at least those mid-round picks in the draft. You know, something interesting happened, and I was reading up on the blogs and the rumors and the thoughts. I'm so curious, since we like to talk offense with Mr. Matt Sims. Do you believe that the Rams in any way benefited from the Diggs trade to Houston and possibly Robert Woods with a very crowded wide receiver room may come back to LA? I'm just saying that's what's out there right now. Just saying.
I would be floored really for Robert and really for Rams fans, because I feel like that would be a great setup, right, for everyone involved, especially because we know what we have in Cooper Kupp. You know what you have in Puka Nacua. You know that they are guys that can kind of do a little of everything. Robert Woods, with his ability to just obviously be a great swing man in an offense with his high football IQ and knowledge and experience. So that would absolutely be amazing. And yeah, the Stephon Diggs trade was crazy to think that, you know, you would leave Josh Allen and the Bills and what he's done there in his career, and then to get an upgrade to go to the Houston Texans. I mean, the Texans just went from like a, you know, potential wild card type of team to like, man, they're probably going to win the damn division right now. They would be my favorites in that one. And that's something too, that the Rams have done as well. They went for the Super Bowl. They did it right. Traded for Matt Stafford, made all those moves. You would think that the rebuild would take 3-4 years. And here they are back in the mix already again. And I think with this 11 picks in this draft, I mean, this is a team that can really rebuild themselves in a tremendous way with just one draft class, especially with what they did a year previous.
You know, when you look at the NFL, and I've been with NFL, I started with NFL Network back in, I want to say 2014. And I remember hearing various answers when I would ask a certain pro players this question. In your opinion, Matt, what do you think is the hardest position to adjust to when playing in the NFL? Because obviously there's the speed and it's just so much more physical. What do you believe is the position that takes the longest to adjust to, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's, you know, obviously the offense and defensive lines to me are just a whole nother level. I mean, you know, you mentioned physicality, and there's no doubt that the NFL, there's a different level of physicality in that sense too, and just the professionalism by each and every football player. But really, I think the biggest difference between college and the pros too, and why a guy like me who really did nothing in college but can survive in the NFL, was just that I could retain information quickly and then process it and do it on the practice field. And, you know, there's so many guys out there that are super talented, but just can't put it together between the lines. And the NFL, there are just a lot of freakishly athletic people out there that are really, really intelligent in the game of football and how to play it at a very high level. And that, to me, I think is the biggest difference, is just that understanding of the language, you know, and the game within the game of football. And the offensive and defensive lines absolutely have the biggest hurdle, I think, because college football, it's like, look at the sideline, the coach tells you what to do. All right, we run 3 or 4 different protections. NFL football, I mean, Sean McVay, you're going to have probably like 6 or 7 different protections in install one, and you're going to have probably 15 to 16 installs, and they're all going to have different aspects and different things that you get to review and adjust to. So the physicality is important, but really just the mental aspect of for that interior part, because these dudes are talented, but they're also extremely smart too with their craft.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for jumping on the show and talking some Rams with us. And we're all looking forward to draft day, as always, I believe, April 25th. And we'll see what the Rams decide to do with that first round pick. They haven't had a first round pick in a while. And Matt is predicting it could go offense.
I don't know.
It could go offense. So at Matt Sims, I'm kidding. What is your social handle so people can follow you? And also, how can they listen to your show with your dad?
Yeah, Sims Complete. You can see us on just wherever podcasts are available. YouTube page as well. Sims Complete with the same thing. Instagram, Twitter for me. And then Phil Sims for Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, hey, I'm not one of those projectors of the mock draft where, like, you know, I know a lot. You know, I'm not like, you know, Mel Kiper. I'm gonna talk really fast and tell you a lot of, you know, hey, listen, man, I don't know what the hell the Rams are gonna do. I would be thinking offensive line, defensive line. That's where I would kind of be thinking, like you said earlier. If they went with a receiver, though, I'd love that too. So we'll see what happens, but it's gonna be exciting as always. And I'm not gonna pretend like I know a lot, because if I did, that means I know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. And by the way, I think no one really knows what is happening until those general managers get into those rooms and start making calls and start making trades. So nobody knows until, of course, draft day, April 25th. Matt Sims, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.